Okay, so now I have to remember where we were last time.
If we did wrap that up last.
Yeah, okay. So the last thing we did last time was we noted that a parallel to, right, we'd set up different models for Rashi, and we'd set up parallel models for Rashi, right? Something along the lines that Vittel solves Bali Ra'em, Bali Matzeh, but not necessarily Tashbitu, the Mitzvah of Biur. Maybe the Mitzvah of Biur is more active, and that's what we're going to do tomorrow. It's a little introduction to the Mitzvah of Biur, and then continue Alter Adaf. Hopefully tomorrow, if not the day after that. So we noted that as a parallel to Rashi, you know that Rabbeinu David essentially goes in that direction. What we left off with was Emuni Latoa with the Meiri, right? So the Meiri plays with this parallel model. Again, so just to review, right, Rashi says that the reason for Bedikat Chametz is to avoid Bal Yira Bal Yimatzeh. Tosfot wasn't thrilled with this because doesn't the Gemara say that it's about avoiding eating it? Didn't you already solve the problem of Bedika through, the problem of owning Chametz through Bitul? We'd seen the Ron who said, well, yeah, but that's talking, the Rashi is commenting on the Mishnah in a theoretical world, maybe on the pre-Derabanan world, and what it could accomplish, in which case you see that there's like a Kium Daraita of Bedika in Biur, even though you could have admittedly done it in a different way. And then we said, well, maybe you could suggest something along the lines of Rashi and say, look, Bittul does solve the Bal Yira Bal Yimatzeh, but it's still not sufficient because it has to do something else. Maybe there's a more ideal, active component. Now, again, we're going to see this tomorrow, whether I'm suggesting this on the assumption that Bal Yira Bal Yimatzeh is passive. Okay? But just put in brackets that this is not obvious, and that's what we're going to do tomorrow, is that the idea that Bal Yira Bal Yimatzeh is passive and Tashbitu is more active. None of what I just said is clear. It could be that you have to understand Bal Yira Bal Yimatzeh differently, and it could be you have to understand Tashbitu differently, and we're going to do a little bit of that tomorrow, even though it comes up, it'll keep coming up at different points in the Masechet. Someone was raising their hand. Yes, Avi. Right, so that is the weird thing with the Ron's understanding of Rashi, which is a reason why you would go against it, right? The reason to oppose Rashi's interpretation, the Ron's interpretation of Rashi, is exactly what Avi said, which is, it doesn't sound like we're talking about a theoretical world. We're saying, lehalacha, when we do Vedika, what are you doing, right? And that's why we are moving to these parallel models where we're saying, no, right? Bittul may solve a certain level of Bal Yira Bal Yimatzeh, but maybe there's still an active model. So you could say that that model is Teshuvitu. Right, but let's see the Meiri, who has another hybrid model, and again, it could be the Rashi is somewhere close to this. Yeah.
In that case, are we just saying that Rashi is only addressing one side of the sort of?
I mean, Rashi would be taking a side within it. Yeah, meaning, right? Rashi would be within. Okay, so let's see. I we two shitot left to see within this, and then sort of test the waters on a few other things. So the Meiri. Okay, so let's read again from the top. V'af al pi shepir shum. Even though Tosfot said nachon, pir shum nachon, they're right. Fundamentally, the Meiri thinks that the primary interpretation of the halacha is that why do we do bedikat chametz? Tosfot, which is eating, right? Eating. Ein tzarich lidchot perush rishon. He says, I don't want to reject Rashi. Sha'afel pisha dayo bivitul, even though it is technically sufficient, ein ze elo eitze be'alma levatlo ulaftiro. He says, you still, there's advice to what? To do bitul and hefker, and we'll see what the connection between those is later. Actually, karit chametz lo, until it's not called your chametz anymore. Aval ikar ha'inyan, but the ikar, right, the ideal, the primary way of doing this is to get rid of it from the world. Because since people are used to having chametz around, the Torah is more stringent with chametz than it is with other prohibitions. So you have to destroy it. The Afal Bisha Nazir Ragil Bayayin. And even though a Nazir also is used to having wine, Lo Tzichu Bekach, we don't require him to get rid of all wine. Nazir Shaini, Shemitzvat Yachidi, Velibo Allah. He said, first thing is that a Nazir took it on himself, so maybe he pays attention more. Va'od she'emu asur achirim mutarim. And more importantly, I think, other people are allowed to drink wine, so there's no reason to destroy it. V'heyach me'va'arin atos. How could you destroy it? Aval chamech asur lakol. But chamech, which is forbidden to everyone. V'she'en hazihirut matzui b'davar she'matzui l'rabim li'ot leiv hakol alea. And that which is everyone is used to, and it's everyone's responsibility. People don't pay as much attention, right? You make more attention to that which is your job and your job alone than, like, as we saw this morning, right? How many people, when we were specifically requested, come and help set up the Beit Midrash, right? There were like 7 people here helping, right? Because right? Well, you didn't ask me. If I asked 5 people specifically, they probably would have showed up. I'm not guilting anyone.
I feel like you're up early on Sunday.
What?
You're trying to sneak up early on Sunday.
What?
I helped you a little bit. I did.
I have Sunday job. I don't have Sunday job like very
much for you. And he says, so what do you learn? So what does he say? Right, the Meiri now explicitly says that his position works for who? For Rashi. Correct, right? He says Tosin isn't wrong, but Tosin is right, but Rashi isn't wrong. And the reason he says it is because, look, is Tosfot right that Bittul is enough to solve Bedika? Bittul is enough to solve Bal Yeriah?
Yeah.
Technically. But what does he think? Right. So again, he said one of the solutions would be to say that Bittul technically fulfills it, but it's less than an ideal way of doing it. And he says, you want to ask me what the best way of dealing with chametz is?
With bedika.
Getting rid of it. And how do you get rid of it?
With
bedika. Bedika, so that you can destroy it. Right? And therefore he says, listen, Tosfot is right. If I was mevatlit, you're not technically violating Bal Yeriah Bal Yimatzeh. But Tosfot takes it to the extreme. Tosfot says, listen, once I did bittul, there's no benefit on the d'oraita level to physically getting rid of my chametz. And what does Meiri say? Zelunachah. That's not true. Even if you technically, did you do something wrong if you're mevatel chametz and leave it in your house? No. But did you do it as right as you could? Also no. Right? He's kind of like the Ron. Kind of like the Ron also, right? I mean, they're all going slightly different directions. Now again, the problem here is that this blurs this, right? This type of sorrow blurs the question of passivity and activity. Right? Because it's assuming that even though Bal Yeriah Bal Yimatzeh, again, the simple pshat of Bal Yeriah Bal Yimatzeh is that they are passive, which is what Rashi says, Meiri has no problem reading Rashi as saying more active. Now, if you had asked me, like I said, I would have called this a parallel to Rashi. Because I would have said, listen, Bal Yeriah Bal Yimatzeh, if it's passive, it's hard to say you could be passive better. It's hard. Active to say that, listen, maybe you fulfilled Tashbitu in some way by Bittul, but it's not ideal, I can hear. Right? Meiri doesn't seem to buy what I just said. The Meiri, who really, really thinks that this is Rashi, seems to think that what? Either that Rashi, when he says Bal Yeriah Bal Yimatzeh, he actually means Tashbitu, which is active, or he thinks that even in the passive Bal Yeriah Bal Yimatzeh, it's still ideal to be. Yeah. Now, it's a little bit weird, but that is what he says. Now, if you continue, let's see why he says that. Now, which one does he think? So he thinks really this one, right? Primarily, I don't think that what I just said is
I think
that
Meiri just assumes
that just because Rashi says Bal Yeriah Bal Yimatzeh doesn't mean you have to take it too seriously. What he really means is that Bittul might be enough to solve Bal Yeriah, but, and maybe even enough to sort of fulfill Tashbitu, but there's a better way of doing Tashbitu, and that is really actively getting rid of it. Now, why do I think that this is what the Meiri says, right? That he's not reinterpreting Bal Yeriah Bal Yimatzeh, but that he's applying Tashbitu, right? That he's saying the reason to Bedika is to actively destroy. Why do I think that? This is not a trick question. That's what he says, thank you. Right?
Because that's what he says. Right? This was really not a trick question.
I wasn't trying to trick you there. What? Yeah, so what's the specific word? As he says, right, the next line is Va'af Lashon Hashbata. Even though the word hashpata tashvitu, in the end of the day, even though lehalacha we say that you can fulfill tashvitu through bitul, and we interpret it again, this is going to force us keep all this in mind as we keep going through this video because we have to define bitul. He says ikar hanachata. That's still not its primary. But you can, like a minimal standard of hashpata. Of destruction can be accomplished somehow through bitul, but the ikur, right, the main interpretation is anachata lo tzav nabayit, to take it out, uvir min olam, destroy it from the world. Kamo shekatavnu. What? He's saying, right, even though hashbata can be accomplished by bitul, it's still like the minimalist bitul. It's not really bitul. Sorry, it's not really hashbata. Oh God, I'm getting confused. Even though bitul is a minimal hashbata, the minimal destruction, still not like, it's not what you really mean by destruction. I mean, okay, right? And he says, right, this is very fancy. He says, listen, why do we say that bitul means that tashvitu can even include bitul, because it doesn't use the more obvious word for destruction, which is taviru, which means destroy, probably. Maybe not. Mikol makom afi romezet, but it hints she'ikra inyan hu habir min abayit o min olam. It's still like alludes to the fact that sort of like the better way is to destroy it. Sharei avi lashon kilayon hu lifamim, because tashvitu sometimes means destroy, like ashvita me'enosh zichrab, that I will destroy their memory from people. Al mikol makom im bitlo enosh shelo. But in the end of the day, if I was mevatel it, it's not mine, and therefore I can't violate. And then he goes into the machloket b'Yehuda and Chachamim, which I'm going to leave for tomorrow. You know what? Let's read through it, but keep in mind that we'll come back to Yehuda Chacham tomorrow. He says, "V'avishamru u'shamru Chacham the Yehuda k'shamar ein biyorchamet el shreifa." Right in the second verse, the Chachamim say, "Yehuda, how can you say the only way to destroy chametz is burning?" That is a kula, because lo matze eitzim yoshiv ubatel. If you don't have wood, you'll end up doing nothing. Torah amra tashbitu, and the Torah says destroy b'chol davar shata yechol hashbito, in any way that you can destroy it. Imkain ikar akavanu livdog acharav uluva aro. What you see from that language of the Chachamim is that why do they say you can destroy it in any way? To ensure that you get rid of it. Meaning they don't deny Rabbi Yehuda's claim in the second paragraph that the ideal way is to burn it. What do they deny? That you can only burn it. Because then, if you don't have fire, you'll do nothing. So the Torah comes and says, you can do it in any way, meaning make sure you get rid of it. But that doesn't change the fact that they agree with Rabbi Yehuda that the more you can destroy it, the better, right? So if it's Friday, so if it's Shabbos, Erev Pesach, and you have the leftover from your meal of challah at, 6 in the morning, flush it down the toilet, pour bleach on it, whatever, something like that, right? Yeah. Because this is what happened, right? Because 2 years ago, right, during lockdown, it was Erev Pesach, Shechaliyot B'Shabbat, so you couldn't leave your house, and it was, right, so I remember just like pouring, was it, or was it 3 years ago? I remember pouring bleach on my chametz and throwing it in the garbage. I remember doing this. I don't know, whatever that was. Wonderful. Just wonderful. Yeah. But as advice, we tell you to do bittul after bedika, to make sure that minimally you don't violate balyira. And therefore, the bedika that comes before the bittul, din gamur. It is a real halacha. This is when you think that you read halacha. It's like there's all these like very. It was the Torah's original intent. It's like primary intent. And even when Chazal instituted nullification, they didn't exempt you of bidika. What does he say? Because you might come to eat it. Right? So until now, I understand the Meiri. And now, what does the Meiri do? Same move as. But Rabbi Nadavin, which is to say that Tosfos and Rashi aren't arguing that much, which is, you're right, Tosfos, but saying that lo yavo l'achlo means that is a kiyum d'oraita. Get it? Why is it that the ideal way of getting chametz out of your house is by destruction? Because you're also going to ensure that you don't eat it. Right now that you don't own it, but that you don't eat it because it's out of your house physically and not just legally. Now, only at this last point, what does this allow? By the way, but only at this last point, what does this allow Meiri to do? Because until now, I would have said that the Meiri is only parallel to Rashi because his focus is Tashbitu as opposed to Balyira Balyimatzeh. But once Meiri introduces that line, you could say that's even what he thinks Rashi means, right? Which is that even the passive Balyira Balyimatzeh is saying, listen, Meikra Din, what does Balyira Balyimatzeh mean? Don't own your chametz on Pesach. But the ideal way of not owning chametz is not owning it or having it found in such a way that you also can't eat it. What? So I don't think that Meiri thinks Tosfos agrees with this. He thinks that Rashi agrees with Tosfos, that Tosfos doesn't realize that he agrees with Rashi. Right. Yes, and that's what a lot of people are saying. Yes. Well, so look at the next line, though. This gets a little bit more complicated. He says, "Hakodem shebitel, but before you do bikel, ikar kavanata Torah b'vdika ubi'ur." The Torah's primary intent was searching and destroying. V'hit tzricha, and it's needed. Avshalo lavor b'val yirah b'al yimatzeh misha badak. Even though you won't violate b'al yirah b'al yimatzeh, shemisha badak yafe af likim kishemot o eino over b'bal yirah. But now the Meiri says something different. What is bidika doing? Right now, after three formulations, the Meiri finally comes to one that seems to be an actual claim within Rashi. And that is, or the second one might also, but this is the third formulation. Right? His first formulation focuses on Tashbitu. Then he sort of inches over toward right? That even Min HaTorah, the purpose of this is to make sure you don't eat it. Right? So it's a Kiyum De'oraita. But then he has a third formulation. What's this third formulation? That if you do bidika, you don't violate bal yirah bal yimatzeh. Why not? So remember, what did we say? Either what? Remind me what we said.
We said, how could that make it real?
Well, whatever. Let's get this thought out, and then if we need it. So what did we say? Right now, this would explain Rashi, right? Why Rashi says you need bidika specifically for bal yirah bal yimatzeh and not tashbitu, right? And that is what did we say? What does it mean that if you do bidika, you don't violate bal yirah bal yimatzeh? So one possibility is he's right. We have three possibilities. One is he's assuming a case where you did a perfect bidika and there's no chametz in your house. Possibility two is. You didn't. There is chametz. You missed something, but... No, that's just the last formulation. We haven't even gotten there yet. What did we say? Why wouldn't you violate Balyar Balyamat saying if you did a bedika. You tried your best and therefore what? Onus, right? Onus. It's you did your best and now you're pater. And what's the who says that? The Ron, very good. Because what does the Ron say? Why is bedika prevent you from violating Balyamatzeh? Because we rely on chazaka in Torah. Because the Torah in general relies on chazaka, right? We rely on presumptions, and if you search as well as you could, there probably isn't there. And if it is there, in malaso, right? And what's the third formulation? The act of bedika shows that Balyarav Balyamatzeh isn't about owning. What is it about? It's about wanting to own. And if you searched out and looked and tried to destroy, then what? That shows you don't want it, and therefore you didn't violate Balyar Balyamatzeh. And if that's what you mean, then you could really say that this is Rashi. Right? Because what would the Miri now say? Listen, you could get away with it with Bittul. But what you're really supposed to do, Balyar Balyamatzeh, is not really, if it was about ownership, so maybe you'd be totally passive. But what is it about? It's about don't show that you want it. And even though it's passive, there are different degrees to which you can show a rejection or not show that you want. Chametz. So the Miri seems to have three formulations. One is that it's a right of Shelo Yavo Lachlo. So Rashi really equals Tosfot, right? Or there's a positive mitzvah of Tashbitu. Right, of destroying it, which ideally should be this, or something like this, that Balyara Balyamatzeh isn't just don't own, it's about don't show that you want to own, and therefore even though it's passive, right, the more you show you don't want it, the better, because it's not really about ownership, it's about relating to the chametz, in which case there are degrees of how much I have dissociated myself from chametz. Well, yes, and what we're going to have to do is see Bittul, and we're going to see proof, by the way, of all these principles as we go through the Perek. For the moment, I know it doesn't feel like it, but I'm actually trying to hold myself back on Makarov here, so I've kept you back. What? I know, I'm trying here. What? I don't know. He seems to believe all of them, or be playing with all of them. And then his final possibility is, well, yeah, then he has yet another one, and he says, maybe, remember we said all the while ago there's another solution to Rashi, which is much simpler, which is that it's different types of chametz, right? That Bittul solves certain types of chametz, and Bedika, finally we have someone who says them. Yiri says in the last line, Lo'od, Ela Shiyo Yesh Omrim, Shlo Nemar Bebittul Ba'alma Sagilei, says Bittul only works for what? Chametz that you don't know about. But if you know about it, you need to find it and get rid of it. So good. So is that because Balyar Balyamatzeh is about showing you don't want it? So if you don't know about it, Mavadel, that's about all you can do. But if you know about it and choose to not actually get rid of it, that calls it into question. But it also depends on what you think Bittul is, right? In order to figure out whether that sheet makes sense, you need to understand what Bittul is, which we haven't talked about yet. And you need to understand what beer is, which we haven't done yet, which is why we're doing that tomorrow. Right? Okay. Yeah?
I was just going to ask, what is Bittul?
Yeah, so you understand. Like I said, we're going to be very front-loaded on raising questions, and then we will be able to pin things down. But yes, you see how even learning the first Mishnah, which amazing, we're still in the first Mishnah, we have a million questions that we need to answer to figure out whether this makes sense, right? We need to define Bior, Tashbitu, Bidik, Bittul, right? We need to define all of these things. We haven't done that yet, right?
It's hard to know, like, is Bittul. What type of destruction is it without knowing what Bittul is?
Right, and that's what we're going to have to do, right? We're going to have to slowly but surely get through this. Okay. Well, you tell me. If you do Bittul and then you eat it afterwards.
Well, you're not allowed to do Chametz himself. Say it after
So what are the possibilities? So it could be, what type of avera, right? I mean, chamish lavers of Pesach is only derabanan. So what type of avera are you talking about? And therefore, you know, stealing, right? You made it, but you could, right? It's possible that you could retroactively undo the bittul by eating it. You're showing that you really did want it, right? The whole point of bittul was it said, I don't want it, right? And now you're eating it, which shows that you're not dissociating from it. So that is a very strong possibility in Rishonim.
It just happened to be there. It just happened to eat
it. I happened to just, I called it dirt, but then I went and ate it because I always eat dirt. It's totally gross, yeah. I mean, of course, you could come up with all types of fun things. Which, I treat it like dirt because I really don't want to eat it. But then the person came down with COVID and has no sense of taste, so might as well eat it because then he might as well eat dirt because it's. What? Yes. Not having a sense of taste is really, it's horrible. It makes it hard to eat. So. What? Lucky. Yeah.
It didn't really go around Migdal that much. There were a few guys who got it, but it did.
But all the faculty, all faculty got it at some point last year. No, I mean all of us who got it, I think got it from our kids. Most of us got it from our kids, right? Because like as safe as you want to be, right? If your kids are going to school. And that was how I got it. I got it from my son. Like, as my guys know, I was extremely careful about COVID, but, like, I sent my kids to school, so I got it from our own, so. Yeah, but why would I not want to send my kids to school? That'd be terrible. I think it's just, like, at some point. Like, my kids were all asymptomatic. It's not like Aaron was the most symptomatic, and he coughed for, like, an hour. You know, like, for that, I'm not going to send him to school for 2 years. You know, and for the record, I was much, much, much sicker each time I got the vaccine than I was when I got COVID, right? When I got the second and third vaccine, I had 104 fever, and my entire body was convulsing from Pfizer. Second and third. Yes, it was really bad. When I had COVID, I had like 101 fever for 6 hours and gave sheer on Zoom the whole time. You know, it was fine. What? Yeah, whatever. I bet I did lose taste for a few hours. That was really creepy. I lost smell for like 3 days, but taste was horrible. Very creepy. Yeah, so maybe you guys did have COVID. I don't know. We tested. We did test a bunch. We were doing a lot of tests. Anyways. It's very hard. It was very hard to... During the fourth wave or what is in Israel, it's very hard to get COVID if you had kids in school. Especially if you have more than one kid. If you have multiple kids in school, statistically, the chances that you didn't bring COVID into your house were vanishingly small. You know? And like, I have 5 kids, and you know, Ravashi has about 8 kids. Right? 8? Think so? What? Ravashi? 8? We all have multiple kids, and they're all in school, so like, you know. What? The whole point of that was simply, Ari, I was going through magazines if you want it. It's the original hard copy with the pictures of the Jerusalem Post article from us in Dubai.
Oh, from Dubai?
The first trip.
Oh, cool.
What did he? Like, we had the online one, but here's. Next page is a good picture of you.
Oh, is that with me now?
Yeah.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
What?
You want it? You want to keep it? Whatever. I don't know. You're our PR person. Okay. Fine. So let's now look at Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, and then try to wrap up this sheet to set up, because as you see, if it hasn't become clear from this, like, I was talking this about Moshe before, right? There's this slight problem in well, most things you learn, it's unfair, but It's just reality. Is that you can't understand Torah until you know Torah. Right? It's just can't do it. So, you know, so the best way to learn a sugya is to first learn all Kol HaTorah Kula and then come back, right? And learn it, you know, several times. Correct. So that's why you just have to keep doing it. Wasserman. Wasserman. I was talking to Wasserman. Sorry. I was talking too much to Wasserman. What? There's a lot of Moshe's. So this sugya is just one of those sugyas where, like, you see, we've only in the first Mishnah on Bidika, but Bidika is connected to Bittel, it's connected to Bior, it's connected to Shvitu, Balyor, Balyamatze. And to figure out whether any of the possibilities that we suggest about Bidika are reasonable, you really need to have a full grasp of all those sugyas, and then we can plug them in, and slowly this spider web of sugyot will sort of begin to connect properly. I am sorry, there's nothing I can do about that, okay? I mean, I could, but then I wouldn't be true to myself or the way I think the sugyas are. So, sorry. Hey, what? I don't know if it's okay, but I'm not going to change it, so good luck. Or just one call it Tarakula. That's the other solution. That's the solution. Yeah, right? Right, Mordechai? That's always the solution. Learn everything. That seems to be... What? See, there you go. It's going well. You just get a, you know. Fine. Okay, so let's look at Joseph Rabbeinu Peretz. Well, biographies. Meiri, who's Meiri? When's the Meiri? What's the Meiri? Where's the Meiri? Why is the Meiri? How is the Meiri? Whatever. What? How is he dead? I know, right? Yes. Yes, I was listening to a podcast by a friend of mine. And he's like, my argument for the importance of learning about history and the great people of history is that most people who have ever lived are dead. And therefore, most of knowledge is dead. I'm like, well, that is... Well, but it's true. But also, okay. I don't know. Very good. He's born in 1249, 1315. He lives in Provence. He lives in southern France, Provence. Okay? So, and Rabbeinu Peretz? Okay. So then we have Tosef Rabbeinu Peretz. So, in general, I won't give you Tosef Rabbeinu Peretz because I see that everybody, except for me, has a Ozvahadar because I lost mine years ago. Yes, you all have Ozvahadar. So Tosef Rabbeinu Peretz is also in the back. But fine. Rabbeinu Yechiel Peretz, Hachi. Why do you need bidika? Why do you need bidika if you already have bittul? The ikal amechas to zimnin sheshachach lasot bittul. Yishum deleka beitircha kiim dibor. So Rabbeinu Peretz also says, like what? That really bittul is enough to avoid balir balimatze, and nevertheless it's better to do bidika. However, now he gives us a very technical reason why you could use this to explain Rashi that it's solving the problem of balir balimatze, not tashvitzu. And that is, why does he think you should ideally do bidika? No. What is he saying? Tosef Rabbeinu Peretz, this one. Because. Because you're going to forget.
Yeah.
If all you did was bittul, you would forget because it's verbal. How many times do you forget to say something, right? It's like with little kids, right? Can I have a cup of water? Aren't you forgetting to say something? Can I have water? Aren't you forgetting to say something? Can I please have water, right? Oh, that's the magic word, right? It's very easy to forget saying something, right? It's harder to forget, right? This is the irony. The harder something is to do, the harder it is to forget to do, right? Things that are easy, once you get around to doing them, they're very easy. But it's very easy to forget to do them. So he says, listen, if you suffice with bittul, you're right, bittul could solve the problem. What are you going to end up doing? If I told you that instead of cleaning for Pesach, the entire preparation for Pesach was that at 4 hours into the day on Erev Pesach, you should just open your Siddur and say, my chametz now doesn't exist. That is it. No cleaning, no nothing. What? Yeah. But he makes a much simpler point, right? And then again, this will work for Rashi, which is, listen, if you told people they could spice with Bittol, they'd end up forgetting it, right? It'd be busy Erev Pesach. They're getting ready for the Seder. They're, you know, making sure their matzah is there and not cracked and cleaning the maror and making salt water and making charoset and setting the table and screaming at presumably a few family members and whatever it is you do on Erev Pesach. Don't forget. It's very easy, right? But you don't forget things that are hard, right? No one forgets to clean for Pesach. They hate it, but no one forgets. No one's just like, Erev Pesach, it's like, oh, I just forgot to clean my whole house. They might not want to do it. They might not even do it, but they don't forget. Right? So he says, why is it that Chazal wants you to do Bedika? Because if we let you get away with Bittul, you would forget to do anything. And then what would happen? You'd violate Bal Yerol Bal Yimatzeh. And that would be bad. Does this work for Rashi?
Yeah.
It does work for Rashi perfectly. I mean, I'm not sure it's what Rashi's saying, but it definitely works. Right? Kiim Dibor. So we make you do something hard, and we talk Kachi Zoch or Lasut Bittel. But then he says something funny, and he says that the purpose of Bedika is what? What's really the purpose of Bedika? To make sure you do Bittel. Right? To make sure you do Bittol, right? Because he says, listen, how many people I just told you to do Bittol might forget? Probably a lot of you. But how many people forget to do Bittol after Bedika and Biur? Very few people, right? Everyone, you know, every year it's the same thing, right? You go to the fire, and if you know halacha, when do you start saying Bittol? The second Bittol? After what? Meaning after it's, like, it has to be already burnt, right? So people who know halacha will be like looking into the fire and being like, oh, that's my chametz. No, it's not burnt yet. And then there'll be the moment when their chametz finally gets, you know, devoured by fire, or, you know, someone pours lighter fluid on their chametz and suddenly it bursts into flames. What? No, Rachman al-Tzlan, Efrat is so organized. They set up very specific places where you're allowed to do it in huge dumpsters that you're allowed to put in between this hour and that hour, and they clear it up. Right, so that they know exactly where it is, but it's in a big metal thing, and people will pour. So they will pour, you know, lighter fluid into that. Don't worry, there are signs everywhere, and everyone's saying, "Don't put it in plastic. Don't put it in plastic. Don't put it in plastic. Take it out of the plastic." It's horrible. Yeah, don't do it, Moshe. Right? The only way to learn Torah is to first learn Kol HaTorah Kula and then learn it again. See? I told you. Thank you, Moshe. But in principle, that's what it is. Yeah. So okay. So that's his first one. But therefore he says, and then you'll remember to do Bittol and you won't violate Bal Yiraya. Right? So, this again brings Rashi closer to Tosfot, but it's clearly that what's the point of Bedika? To avoid Bal Yiraya. Now, the long way of saying that is it reminds you to do Bittol, and Bittol is what avoids Bal Yiraya, but it's clear that for him, right, Bedika really does somehow aid in the avoidance of the passive potential violation of Bal Yiraya. So theoretically, yes, but that doesn't change the fact that the purpose of Bedika is to avoid violating Bal Yiraya. No, that's what he says. He says the purpose of, again, you're not, that's not the question. If you ask him, why do you do Bedika? His answer is, so you don't forget to do Bittul so that you make sure to avoid Bal Yiraya, Bal Yimatzeh. So is Bedika contributing to avoiding Bal Yiraya Bal Yimatzeh? Yes, right? And therefore it worked with Rashi. Did he continue to bring Rashi closer to Tosfot? Yes, but in a very different way than everybody else. Because he thinks that Bedika really is essential in the Bal Yirah, Bal Yimaseh Bras, at least in the Derabanan level. That's his first answer. Well, the Ron, you know, did even more directly, yes, because they say they're basically saying the same thing. The Yod Yesh Lomar, Mishum Hachi Tzarech Bedika Gamechameitz, Mitoch Shechmira Laftara Labra Bal Yirah, Bal Yimaseh, Yoter Mishar Esurin, Heched Lo Bitlu, Hey, Imkein, Hecha Nami De Bitlu, Tzarech Bedika Gzera Dem Atel Mechaminei. And his second explanation is what? No. The Torah is machmir about chametz, and therefore, even though you avoid Bal Yirah Bal Yimaseh with bittul, you need to do bedika to avoid eating it. Yeah. Who does it sound like? Tosva.
Shocking.
Right? Imkein lefiza oto she'eno Bal Yirah Bal Yimaseh kon Torah b'chametz. And we'll see that in just a second. Yeah? I don't know. Okay. Now, the truth is that as much as we said that all Tosfot, guys, as much as we said, though, that Tosfot says that the purpose of bedika is so that you don't eat it. When you actually read Tosfot, he's a little bit more complicated than that. Because what does he say? Look back at Tosfot now. V'nira l'ri, d'avogav d'sagi b'vitol ba'alma, hechmiru chachamim livdo chamej levaro, shelo yavo le'achlo, v'chein masna le'kaman, right? He says again, the reason is not eat it, but why? V'atam shechmiru kan tfeim, v'shari surei anah, shelo tzvich levaro. And he says, and why are we so machmir? Possibility one, because chametz is mutter kol hashana velo bedilei mine, right? Second reason is inami shiny chametz shechmiru b'tara lavar bal yirah bal yimatzeh shechmiru cham livdok levaro. Right. What's the second possibility? Right. Is that what? Remember, we saw this already in the Radbaz. The second answer is that the Torah is really machmir on chametz, and we take their cue. Right? Now, which does he mean? Which possibility in the Radbaz does he mean? That the Torah was really machmir, which shows that chametz is like anathema and we want to really, really avoid it? Or that chametz is machmir in the Torah because it sets up its own siyagim, and therefore we take its cue and set up siyagim al-gabe siyagim and set up, right, protective measures. Which one does he mean? Probably the second one. Why do I think that? Because his next line is, the Torah was machmir by chametz bal yirah bal yimatzeh, so we follow their lead. Hey, right? Hechmira acham livdo gavara filech lebit lo mishum dumata lemichlei. Because we set a bedika so that you don't eat it, just like bal yirah bal yimatzeh. Do what? Are the Torah's protective measures that you don't eat it. Right? So Tosfot, going back to Radbaz, seems to believe that what is the guiding principle in chametz and Pesach? That the Torah says don't eat it. Then the Torah sets up protective measures to not eat it, which we call Bal Yirah Bal Yimaseh. And therefore, once the Torah sets up its own siyagim to avoid eating it, what do? We set up even more protective measures to make it even more unlikely, or less likely, that you will eat chametz. And what do we call that? Bedika. Bedika. A Derabanan, which is modeled after the Doraita. Right, modeled after the Doraita. So according to Tosfot, it's not. No. According to Rashi, Bedika is a Kiyum Doraita in one of the 10 ways that we saw. According to Tosfot, it's not. It's modeled after Doraita. It's not a Kiyum Doraita. Tosfot is very clear about that. It's modeled after Doraita. Correct. According to Tosfot, it's not Doraita. It's modeled after Doraita. That just like the Torah sets up protective measures of Bal Yirah Bal Yimaseh, which themselves protect Achila, so we set up another layer called Bedika to make it even less likely that you come to eat it. They are separate. It's a mitzvah derabanan, which is modeled on a Doraita, but it's not a Kiyum in Bal Yirah Bal Yimaseh. It's modeled after them. According to Tosfot. According to Rashi, According to Rashi, it's a kiyum in Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh, either because, possibility one, we're dealing in a case where you didn't do bedika, or two, it's a bitter way of fulfilling Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh / Tashbitu, right? Or bedika and bittul apply to different types of chametz. And therefore, there are certain types of chametz that the only way to avoid Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh / fulfill Tashbitu is through bedika. So according to most interpretations of Rashi, bedika actually fulfills the d'oraita role. According to those, it doesn't. In a simple shot. Rashi never said that. In Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh. Tosos thinks that Shelo Yom Lachlo, but that's not completely divorced from the Doraita because the Doraita himself seems to set up Zero to protect you from eating it. So it sounds like from Tosvot that Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh themselves are the Torah's way of telling you that eating it is really, really bad. It sounds like it's Siag Doraita. It sounds like Tosvot buys the Siag Doraita model. It sounds like it, right? Because he's saying that just like the Torah was machmir, instead of Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh, she wouldn't eat it, we take their cue and make it even less likely to eat it by making you do bedika. You. Kobe. No, Rabbi Yosef Engel wasn't sure that he believed in that because he said, well, once it's done right, that's intrinsic. So how could you posit hierarchies? He wasn't sure about it. Okay. Okay, I know that these things are confusing. We will hash more of them out, but hopefully at this point you've got several models right to review. So again, simple pshat in Rashi. Rashi says, bedika is to avoid Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh. Tosafot says, so you don't end up eating it. As we saw, this is much more complicated, because Gemara does say that bittul is enough. Possibility one is that Rashi is dealing on the theoretical d'oraita level, which is obviously that is weird. Why would the Mishnah be telling you a theoretical rather than a practical? But in theory, you could do that. Or alternatively, right, if you wanted to say it's la halacha and do it pretty neatly, you go in the last day of the Meiri, which is, listen, there are certain types of chametz for which bittul works, certain types of chametz for which bedika works, and therefore both of them are accomplishing avoiding Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh, right? For him, the difference is chametz yadua versus chametz shein yadua, chametz you know about, you have to get rid of, and chametz you don't know about, you can be mivatel. Then we had all these middle models that said, listen, bittul solves Bal Yerah, but maybe it doesn't solve Tashbitu. Or, bittul solves Bal Yerah, but not in the ideal form. Why would you say that? Because maybe it's about showing that you don't want chametz, and the more you show you don't want chametz, the better. Or, if it's within Tashbitu, Bal Yerah is about not owning it. Tashbitu is about destroying it. But as we saw, according to several Rishonim, the Torah itself may be driving at avoiding Achila, and therefore, avoiding Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh might also be linked to not eating it, which would bring Rashi closer. So we saw several different formulations which led to a bridging the gap a little bit between Rashi and Tosfot. And then in Tosfot himself, we saw several possibilities. Tosfot does think it's a Shlo Yom Lacho, and nevertheless, Tosfot thinks it might be modeled on some sort of Siag D'Oraita, based on at least one understanding that we had at Baz, and that seems to be the direction that Tosfot takes. But again, this still leaves us with trying to figure out, well, what is Bittul and what is Bior. So tomorrow we'll do what is Bior to figure out whether this makes sense. We'll do just the introduction. What? And are they the same thing? Sure. Today I want to make two more points, okay? One point. Is there any nafka mina whatsoever to what we just said? Yes. Is there a nafka mina between Rashi and Tosfot? Nafka mina means a halachic ramification. I thought you meant the word nafka mina. The word nafka mina means that which comes out from it. Nafka comes out, mina, from it. And that's why sometimes in yeshivas you'll hear people say, where are the nafka minas? That's obviously wrong, meaning, because it's, what's the plural of nafka mina? What? Wrong. Nafke mina. Right? Nafka mina is that which comes out from it. Nafke mina are those that come out from it. Right? So, mina never changes. Right? It's... Yes, I understand. But technically it's nafke mina. It's that which comes out from it. But So Tosfot himself suggests one nafka mina, and that is Tosfot and Daf Yoram and Bet says there is one nafka mina. What is it? So the, right. So what does the Mishnah say in Daf Yud? That if you forgot to do bedika before the moed, you do it on the moed. And if you forgot to do it on the moed, you do it la'achar ha-moed. So Tosfot said, what is la'achar ha-moed? When is after Yom Tov? So what does Tosfot say? What does Rashi say?
After the set time,
right? Because moed can mean two things. It can either mean a holiday, meaning Pesach, or it can mean moed also means a time, meaning the set time to do bedika. So Rashi says, when is la'achar ha-moed? After the set time of bedika, but it's still before Pesach. What does Tosfot say? What's la'achar ha-moed? After Pesach. Why? What's their machloket? What does Tosfot say? He says very clearly, according to Rashi, that bedika's goal is to avoid bal yirah bal yimatze. Then does it make any sense to say that you do bedika after Pesach? No, because you can't violate bal yirah bal yimatze after Pesach. And therefore, if bedika avoids bal yirah bal yimatze, if Pesach is gone, you miss the mitzvah. And therefore, what is Rashi forced to do? It must be that la'achar ha-moed means after the normal time to do bedika, but before Pesach. But according to Tosfot, who says that, why do you have bedika? She won't eat it. Are you allowed to eat it after Pesach? No, there's an issur d'rabbanan called chametz sha'avar alav ha-Pesach. Right, chametz, which is passed through Pesach illicitly. And you're not allowed to eat it. And Tosfot said, if that's the case, then if you're not allowed to eat it, does it make sense to forbid, to make you search for it, to make sure you don't eat it? Yes, if that's what you think bedika is. So Tosfot tells you very clearly that there is a nafka mina between him. Now, obviously, all the sita that collapse Rashi and Tosfot are denying the fact that Tosfot really, really thinks that, you know, he is different than Rashi. Include, not just conceptually, but there are actually practical ramifications to the difference in Rashi and Tosfot. But Tosfot notes that there is this nafka mina, and there's a second nafka mina, which actually the first Tosfot notes, and that is there's a question lahalacha about whether you violate bal yirah bal yimatze for chametz nukshe. Okay, so we'll see. Chametz nukshe is a particular type of chametz mixture, which is usher to eat, but it's not usher. It doesn't have an isur karet. It's an isur lav. Right, it's a regular prohibition. And it's not clear whether you violate bal yirah bal yimatze for it. Now, if you don't violate bal yirah bal yimatze, if only chametz nukshe, then what? So according to Rashi, would you have to do bedika for chametz nukshe? No. And according to Tosfot, because there is a prohibition to eat, yes. Right now, again, could you quibble? Yes, because you could say, well, once you're doing bedika, you do it for all chametz, or maybe we only are worried about you eating that which has an isur karet and not as worried about something which has only an isur lav. You could quibble on it. But fundamentally, chametz, which is usher to eat but doesn't have an isur, bal yirah bal yimatze, would be another nafka mina between Rashi and Tosfot. Okay? Fine. Last point is, who saw the Gemara in Daf Zayin? Good. The Gemara in Daf Zayin, what does it say? When you're going to do bedika, what do you need to do? Make a bracha. You make a bracha. Now, what does the existence of a bracha imply? That there's a mitzvah. Not just a mitzvah, but usually, yeah, like an intrinsic mitzvah, like something you have to do, not... So the fact that there is a bracha may point in which direction? So not necessarily, because you can have an adir abanan. Right, so it does lead you towards the direction that there's some sort of positive mitzvah. It's not just like... So not clear, right? Because you could say that, listen, Tosfot says, so that you don't need it, Chazal were goes there. But according to Rashi, it's going to, well, what it implies is that there's an intrinsic value to bedika. According to, let's say, the Ran within Rashi, should there be a bracha? No, not really, because Bedika was only valuable, really, if you didn't do Bittul. Right? Now this is really unclear, because you could say, no, that's on the Doraita level, but on the Darabanan level, there's a formal Chiyuv. But it does seem to be that Bedika, at least by the end, once you have the Darabanan, is intrinsically valuable, because otherwise, because it's a Maisa Mitzvah. What's the thing that throws a little bit of a wrench in this? What's the bracha? Al bir chametz. Right, so on the one hand, you have a bracha, which implies that it's intrinsically valuable. On the other hand, the bracha is? Okay, good. Say more. So they both say either livaer or al biur, right? And we're going to come back to what that means, but the point is, there is a bracha which implies it's intrinsically valuable. But on the other hand, what's the bracha? Al biur chametz. Like, you can't do without it. Right? Meaning, right? Right? Meaning, it's not like you have the option of doing bedika. You must do bedika. Right? Now, you could explain this again, both for Rashi and Tosfos, but it does seem that the Maskana, at least at a Darabanan level, Bedika is not just reducible to something else, right? Because normally we don't say brachot on things that are reducible to something else. We only say brachot on things that are themselves mitzvot, at least mitzvot Darabanan. On the other hand, the bracha is al bir chametz, which highlights a very strong connection to biur. Now, this is a bit of a problem because does that work great for Tosfot?
No.
Not great. Right? So, there, right, it doesn't work great for Tosfot because Tosfot says that the bracha is, because bedika, biur is accomplished by bittul, and bedika is only so you don't come to eat it, unless you think, like Tosfot says, yeah, but we got our cue to do bedika from the fact that the Torah itself is machmir. And imposed by Rabbi Matzah, so maybe that helps. What about Rashi? Does it help? It makes a lot of sense because Rashi thinks Bedika is actually part of the mitzvah of. Yeah, so that's the complicated thing. So you know what I think I'm going to do? Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to leave off the Shkoli Leket for now, right? Because this last question, the bracha, really leads us to the next question, which we've sort of hinted at over and over, but is, how is Bedika really connected to biur, not just Bal Yiraya? But again, that requires us to figure out what? What is biur? It's a long sugya, but what I want to do tomorrow is just do the basics, right? Really, really like the ABCs of what is biur. So, to that end, I want to do the following. The Mishnah on Chaf Aleph, the Machloket Rehud and Chachamim there about what biur is. I'm giving you a source sheet, but I'm just telling you in advance what this is, right? On Chafal, the beginning of the second parak, just the Mishnah. I want you to read the Minch. I'm going to give you the Minchas Chinuch, who just poses the two basic models of Teshbitu. Okay, Reb Chaim, who suggests that the nature of Bedikat of Biur Chametz is itself the matter of dispute between Reb Yehuda and the Chachamim. And I'm going to give you an Avdani Miluim that's going to argue that Reb Chaim's distinction between Rehud and Chamim is too extreme conceptually, and they're much closer than Reb Chaim would have you believe. Okay? With that in mind, then I want you to go back to the Shibolei Aleket and deal very briefly with the Bracha question, which is, okay, we've established that there's a Bracha, but does that show that Bedika is, at least Darabanan, its own mitzvah? Right? If that's the case, why is the language al biur chametz? And as we'll see, there's at least two ways of approaching that question based on what you think the word means, biur, in the context of the bracha. Okay? Yes? Okay.